I think the Lord loves it when his kids believe in him. I really do. I think the Lord so enjoys when his children actually believe in him. Take him at his word. Peter dared to believe God. And he said, "If it is you, Lord, then bid me to come to you on the water." And the Lord spoke one word, "Come." And Peter began to climb down from that boat. And when he got to the last rung, he stepped out on that water. He stepped out on something that most people would sink. But he didn't sink, because he was walking by faith and not by sight. But when he began to rely on what he saw, and his mind and his emotions took over, and fear gripped his heart, he began to sink. But aren't we glad Jesus was close enough to reach him and to prevent him from drowning? There's nothing wrong with taking a risk and just trying it. We heard a message at the East Campus Sunday night about taking a risk. And I want to do that. I want to take that next step in God. Amen. Let's turn to the word of the Lord here tonight, to the book of Ephesians. So good to be in the presence of God. There's no place I'd rather be. I enjoy a lot of things. Well, a few things. There's a few things that I really enjoy. But honestly and sincerely, there's no place I'd rather be than in the presence of my dad, my father, my redeemer, my counselor, the Prince of Peace. He is the mighty God. He is El Shaddai. He is the Almighty. Hallelujah. And one of these days, we're going to put off this mortality and be clothed with immortality. And we will forever be with the Lord in his glory, splendor, and presence. I think that we're going to be able to do that eternally, because we won't have the limitation of our flesh. Flesh can't handle that. That's why we have, or will have, a brand new body, a glorified body, so that we have the capacity for eternity. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. If you'll take time, if you haven't already, not tonight, but in the future, and examine Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. It paints a picture and gives us some details about how we are to live and conduct our lives as family, and of course in relationship with society. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9 deals with getting our relationships with men right. Children with their parents, and parents with their children, and masters with their servants, and servants with their masters. Because you are not ready for spiritual warfare until you get relationships right. Amen. And so once we begin dealing with our relationships and coming into alignment according to God's order, God's plan, then we move to verse number 10, which says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I dare say that many, perhaps most, are ambitiously seeking and desiring to see and experience the might of God. God's ability working in and through you. But that is not the order. And that should not be our first priority. But the priority, the order of the scripture is first, be strong in the Lord. Then you can move on to being strong in the power dimension. A lot of people, including those who aren't right with God, are very ambitious and they want glory. They want to be esteemed as the ones who prayed the prayer, the ones who spoke the word, the ones that God used to do the miraculous. You can have right methods, but wrong motives. Hello? So let me say this one more time. Be strong in the Lord. By this one statement, I come to the conclusion that if we can be strong in the Lord, we can also be weak in the Lord. So I want to ask your spirit, are you weak or are you strong? And can you be honest with yourself and with God tonight and answer the question? Some really don't know. But I'm going to help you tonight through the word of the Lord to get to a place where you can find out where you are and what you need. Can we pray? Lord, we love you. We're thankful tonight. Oh, thankful, Lord. Thankful for the amazing grace that you have extended to all mankind. The grace of God that was manifest in the flesh, and we beheld your glory. The grace that is still working in our world today and working in the midst of the church. We're thankful, and we are approaching you tonight, seeking you, being sensitive to your touch, to your voice, to your guidance and your governance. Lord, we want to be sensitive to your correction, to your correction in our lives, your guidance, your counsel. Whatever it is that you've come to do and say, Lord, we open our hearts. We open our spirit to hear you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, and to reciprocate. Hallelujah. And communicate with you tonight. And to respond in a way that you would be pleased and honored and glorified. In the name of the Lord Jesus, say amen. But would you praise him before you seat yourself? Come on, really praise the Lord. The Bible says praise him in his sanctuary. Come on, hallelujah. Your body is the sanctuary. Your body is the temple. From your innermost being, connect with the Almighty God. Come on, you have that great privilege and opportunity to connect and commune with the Lord. You may be seated. I'm so glad the Lord is a God of communication. He is a talking God. He's not an idle, passive, lethargic God. He is a talking, communicating, expressive God. Aren't you glad that you can detect that you can discern that you can receive that that word, that touch, that communication from God. We're built for such. Amen. We're not perfected, but we're built by God and for God's pleasure. We get into trouble when we seek our own pleasure instead of seeking to please the one who created us and who is our rightful owner. The scripture says that we should be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I, like many of you, want to see the miracles of God. I don't have to be the one God uses, but I want to see the miracle power of God. I want to see the blind eyes open and the deaf ears unstopped. I want to see people come out of wheelchairs. I want to see the dead raised. But if I don't, I still believe that He is able. I still believe that He can do anything. I still believe, according to the scripture, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That He has all power in heaven and in earth. And this same Jesus lives, amen, and thrives and is alive and well through the body of Christ, His church. Say amen. So I do want to see these supernatural things occur. Amen. Don't you? Anybody besides me want to see the supernatural power of God? We want to go to the hospital room and speak. Hallelujah. Just speak the word and somebody get up and somebody lift their voice and testify. Hallelujah. Beyond the power of medicine and man. Hallelujah. Raised by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I want to see that, and I've seen it to some degree. And I've been used in a number of ways by the Lord, and so have many of you. We read in this particular verse of Scripture, this kind of is a preface before we move into putting on the armor of God. The Amplified Version, if you'll bear with me and allow me to read that, in conclusion, Ephesians 6:10 of the Amplified Version says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw strength from Him. That strength which His boundless might provides. Somebody say, He provides the power. The Bible says in Acts 1:8 that we will receive power, dunamis, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon us. Is that right? And He says, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And we do believe that we have received that. It has been fulfilled. It has come to pass. And we are here today as witnesses of the life and the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I've also lived long enough, and so have many of you, to realize that we can see the power of God demonstrated, that we can see God pour out His Spirit, that we can see the works of the Holy Ghost, that we can witness and even be a conduit. We can be a vessel that God uses, that the gifts of the Spirit would function and operate and be administrated through. We believe that. And you and I also know that according to the scripture, we have access to the very armor of God. That we can actually put on the armor of God. And we can accomplish some great things because the armor of God is very, very powerful. Somebody say, it's God's armor. It's not intelligence. It's not intellect. It's not ingenuity. Come on, it ain't psychology. It comes from God. It's God's armor. Therefore, because God is strong, His armor is strong, and it will work for us because it is the armor of God. But I had a vision. I can't remember if it was last night or just today, but I envisioned this man with this mighty armor. But beneath the armor, there was this scrawny, bony, malnourished young man. Are you getting the picture? The armor is incredible. And he looks so big and bad when he's wearing the armor. But if we were to take the armor off piece by piece and see that this man is very poor, weak, feeble, then we begin to think that, well, since he is not that strong, since he is so weak and feeble, it seems to me that it's only a matter of time before he is worn out, before he gets becomes overwhelmed with the burden of this armor. Are you getting the picture? What I'm simply saying is we can put on the armor of God but not be strong in the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying right now? We can reach and even be used in the gifts of the Spirit but yet not be strong in the Lord. And that is off balance. That's an imbalance. That shouldn't be, but that is a reality. That you and I can minister, that we can serve, that we can work, that we can be faithful, that we can even have, amen, all the standards, and we can be a tithe payer, and we can give, and we can do so much, but still be weak in the Lord. Tell somebody that's not the will of God, but that is a reality. I've seen it myself for years. 25 years, I guess. I've known people that have been in the church for years and even have been raised in the church, and they're faithful, they're loyal, but they are absolutely deficient and immature and carnal, and they don't have much of a root system within them. And from time to time, they're used of God, and from time to time, you'll even see them speak with tongues at an altar, but I can see them, hallelujah, and I realize they are so weak and so feeble and so frail, it ought not be. I don't know how you feel, but this is how I feel. I feel like, God, if I'm going to wear this armor, I need to be strong myself. Teach me how to develop, how to grow, how to get some spiritual muscle so that I have the endurance and the stamina, hallelujah, to wear this armor and do the will of God without burning out and wearing out. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Just over the course of 24 hours, I felt like the Lord began to show me things, not just about myself, but some things that He wanted to deal with concerning the body of Christ. Oh, Lord, help our souls tonight. We can look so good and smile on the outside and look right to everybody else, but on the inside, the inner man be so weak and struggling to make it. Oh, that's not God's plan. God's plan is that not only we be strong in His might and in the power dimension, but God wants us to be strong in our relationship with Him. I'm telling you, God is raising up warriors in this end time. Hallelujah, they have more than the armor of God. They got a relationship with the Almighty God who empowers them. And they receive from His power. Oh God, I've come to this conclusion that before warfare, we've got to make sure that we've got relationship right. If you're going to go out to war, you better make sure that your relationship is lined up with the Word of God. The Bible tells us that we should humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And if you study about the mighty hand of God, that means we must be in alignment even with the ministry that God has set as an overseer in our life. Therefore, if we're not lined up in proper order under our leadership that God has set and established and confirmed, amen, to oversee us, if we're not, then we are not humbling ourselves and being submitted under the mighty hand of God. And therefore, we will be vulnerable when we go out there to do spiritual warfare. And no doubt, some of those darts, those fiery darts, will penetrate us and begin to slowly burn away at our spirituality. That is not the plan or the will of God. God wants us to be strong in Him. Not just to have gifts, not just to have ability, not just to have knowledge, not just to be used in prophecy, hallelujah, not just to speak with tongues, but God wants us to be strong in our relationship with God. Because if that isn't the foundation, then it's only a matter of time, hallelujah, before you self-destruct. Oh, God, help us to realize that we must be strong in the Lord. People may look at you and say, wow, they look so strong. But God sees everything. God sees beneath the surface. He sees our heart. He sees the inner man. And He is calling for the inner man, hallelujah, to come to Him. To come to Him and let Him talk to you about you. Hallelujah, because there's some things that He wants to heal and fix in order for us to become strong. I hope that you can hear the Holy Ghost talking. We're going to see the manifestation of God's kingdom, then we must first have the King ruling and reigning in us. And there is a way that that can become a reality. Because it is possible, as I've mentioned before, to be used of God, to be a vessel, but yet be on the verge of a nervous breakdown. Burning out, weary in well-doing, that is possible. Tell somebody that is possible. According to the scripture, we can have knowledge and we can have gifts and we can have abilities and we can speak with tongues and we can have dreams and we can have visions and we can still lack charity. We can lack the proper motive that comes from the one who is love. According to Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, if you were to read those few verses, hopefully you can come to the same conclusion that it is absolutely possible that you and I can run the race indeed, and we can preach to others indeed, and we can be faithful and loyal to the local church indeed, but yet be disqualified at the very end. Paul says, becoming shipwrecked after preached to others, after ministering to others, after working so hard in the name of the Lord, being used of God mightily. He said it was absolutely possible that he could become a shipwreck and a castaway, disqualified. If Paul said that, if Paul realized how important alignment and agreement and relationship was with the Lord, and how much more, hallelujah, should we be convinced that I've got to be right with God and not just working for Him. I don't want to help others and die in the process. I want to live. I want to see the Lord. I want the Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Just like you. We want to hear those words, don't we? Of course. And in Revelation chapter 2, you read the few verses concerning the Lord about the church at Ephesus. We can soon realize that according to these verses, that we can have the good works and we can labor in His name and we can have patience and we can have apostolic power and apostolic discernment, but be deficient or neglecting a loving, intimate relationship with the Lord. I know this is like reading yesterday's paper and you've heard it 1,000 times, but the Lord knows the heart. He sees, amen, beyond our spiritual facade. And God's trying to connect with us and help us realize that we need to get close to Him. Not just close to each other, but we need to get close to Him. I know people that they're close to me and they want to hear, hallelujah, what I have to say or what the Lord has showed me. But I'm telling you, I cannot save you. Pastor is a powerful man of God, but he can't save you. There is only one Savior, and that's the one that we need to be strong in. Oh, God, would you worship Him tonight? Would you reach for Him tonight? Oh, God, oh, God. Hallelujah. This so sobered me when the Lord began to communicate with me and bring these things to my mind. That I could be faithful and I could get pats on the back and I can get preaching engagements and invitations and accolades and I can have all the admiration of men and fellow preachers, but the Lord not be pleased with me. I don't want to be in the condition of those that call Him Lord, Lord on that day and them hear the report back saying, depart from me, I never knew you. I don't want to hear those words. But that is going to happen. That is absolutely going to happen. And it's going to happen to people who had the Holy Ghost, who knew the name of the Lord because they referred to Him as Lord. Lord, we recognize You. We've done so many things and we did it in Your name. We even prophesied. We even cast out devils. Very experienced in the power dimension. But He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. What that means is you never let me have my way with you. Come on, help us, oh God. I want to be in a place where God can have His way in me. Not just on a Sunday or a Saturday at the park, but God's looking for somebody who's going to yield themselves to God completely. Come on, not just every once in a while at an altar. God's looking for somebody who will yield completely to Him. It's going to be the soberest day. I'm thankful that God warns us long before destruction comes. God tells you miles before the dead end. A long ways before the destruction comes, because He knows the end of that path. He knows the results and the effects and the consequence of every single choice. He knows the very end from the beginning. And therefore, because He is so good and so loving and He is so kind, He'll say, you don't need to do that. You need to stop going there. You need to turn that off. He's telling us long before, because He's a good God. aren't you glad that he is so good that he'll warn us? Because he don't want us to destroy ourselves. So how can we fix us? How can we become strong in the Lord, Brother Wilson? What do we do? The Lord has given me some answers. Sorry, it's taken me so long to get to this point. And I realize that we know in part, but I got a good part tonight. I got a part yesterday and a part but the day before and a part last week and 10 years ago and 20 years ago. God's given me piece by piece, part by part, here little, there little, precept upon precept, line upon line, and I'm taking it. I want it because God is trying to grow us. He's trying to strengthen us because he wants us to be strong in order to represent him. So the question is, how do we become strong in the Lord? I think some of it's very, very basic, very elementary. Just like in the physical, obviously you got to eat right, you got to get some sleep, got to stay hydrated, isn't that right, sister? But the Lord began to direct me to Psalms 91, verse number 1. Psalms 91, turn there with me just for a little bit. Psalms 91. I know this might be a crumb, but it's a good crumb. Amen. There's always quality in the crumb if it comes from God. Psalms 91 and verse number 1, the King James Version says, he that dwelleth, somebody say dwelleth, not occasionally visits, but the verb here is dwelleth. Brother Nagy, it's dwelleth. It's dwelleth. It seems like that's the hard part. The hard part is dwelleth. Dwelleth means it to continually inhabit, to tarry, to remain. He that dwelleth in the secret place, that hidden place, that private place of the Most High shall abide, shall endure under the shadow, under the protection, under the defense, under the provision, under the governance and the influence of God. So what I'm looking at when I see this verse of Scripture is I see this, that if I'm going to be that man, that individual, that abides, or that, as the Scripture says, abides under the shadow of the Almighty, it depends on whether or not I dwell, I remain, I tarry, I'm steadfast, I continue in that private, secret place of the Most High. Are you hearing what I'm saying right now? I don't know if I'm communicating this effectively, but the Lord's trying to help us. He's trying to give us an important peace, hallelujah, to our spiritual growth and development and stamina. And it is this: if we will learn to tarry, to remain, to continue, and to be faithful in the secret place of the Most High, then as a result, we will endure, we will abide, we will live under his shadow, under his protection, under his defense, under his governance, under his power. The power of the Almighty, the influence. Now, I know that you and I are well aware that there are people in our world that are under the influence of other substances, alcohol, prescription drugs, illegal drugs, and other things that affect the body's metabolism. But I want to go deeper than the flesh. I want to go into the inner man tonight. And I want to speak to your inner man and ask the inner man the question: what are you living under? What is governing you? What is influencing the inner man? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. The Lord is going to help us. The Lord is going to teach us how to be strong. If you want to be strong, then you need to make that petition known to God. Come on, don't just assume you know it all and you've arrived and you've been in it long enough. If you and I are serious about being strong in the Lord, then we need to talk to God about it. We need to make it our prayer. Lord, teach me how to be strong in you, how to be strong in my relationship with you. Oh, teach me how to maintain that strength. That should be our desire. That should be our prayer. And when I read the words, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, it's like the Holy Ghost was illuminating this a little bit more. I got a little bit more illumination that helped me realize that when the Lord is talking about tarrying and being steadfast and continuing in that secret place, that he was talking about, if my people will learn, amen, to dwell in a state of intimacy with me, then as a result, oh, they will abide under my influence and under my government and under my protection and provision. Always. Always. Hallelujah. And the people in our world, they're under the influence of all kinds of things. But I want to be under the influence of the Lord. I want to walk under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to be under the influence of His deity, of His nature, of His character, of who and what He is. And as a result, when they see me, they won't see me. They will see the one that I'm under the influence of. Come on, church, can we lift our voice to the Lord tonight and say, God, I want to be under your influence. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on. If you and I can learn how to dwell, how, somebody say how. I know we read what to do, but we've got to seek how to do it. That's the question. We know what we're supposed to do, but how do we do it? Okay, there's our destination. How do we get there? That's why the Bible says, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door shall be open. Come on, are we still seeking God? Are we just asking for things and for a breakthrough or to bless me or take care of me today? Or are we seeking Him for Him? My kids, they're young, they're immature, they're children. And they only come to me when they want something. But God's trying to raise us up beyond this childlike mentality into a place and into a mindset and an attitude that I'm coming to God not for stuff. I'm coming to God for relationship. I'm coming to God for God because I want to see Him. I want to hear Him. I want to know Him. I want to hear His voice. I want Him to talk to me. I want Him to hear me. Somebody lift your voice and your hands and say, I want to know the Lord. It's already settled who the Lord is, but once it's been settled in your mind who the Lord is, take the next step and get to know Him. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, He delights in making Himself known unto us. Yes, He does. He delights in it. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The Amplified Version says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I asked one of my elders, if I were to say his name, you would know him. But I asked this dear elder, I said, what are your thoughts concerning this verse of Scripture, this statement, dwelling in the secret place? And this is what he said, and I quote. He said, the secret place means to me a place where nobody or nothing can interrupt or come between my thought process of God and what He wants to say to me. That ministered to me. What the elder was telling me through this reply, this response was, there is a place. It's a secret place. It's a private place. That nobody can interrupt, that nobody can interfere with. You can get to a place in your relationship with God that nothing moves you, that nothing detours you, that nothing, amen, takes your attraction, your focus, your attention from off the Lord. Oh, God, help us tonight. Hallelujah. We want to get to that place. We want to find out how to do it.
how to do it. Hallelujah. I've read this verse. I've heard it preached. I've heard it quoted for years. But I want the Lord to teach me how. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Teach me how to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Obviously, there is a secret place. Obviously, there is a private place, a secluded place. What is it meant for? It's meant for intimacy. Tell somebody, it's meant for intimacy. If you're a husband and wife, you're married, you know that if you lose your intimacy, you've lost something very, very powerful in your relationship. I understand a little bit about our humanity. But even if you're 85 years old, you can still be intimate with one another. You can hold hands. You can rub your noses together. You can put your cheek on their cheek. You can blow a kiss every once in a while. You can say, hey girl, you fine. Come on. Am I talking to any 85-year-olds tonight? Maybe you're not quite there, but you feel like that. I'm telling you, you can still be intimate with your lover. If you understand its power and its place in your relationship. If you want your relationship with God to last, you need to learn how to dwell in the secret place. You need to learn how to get intimate with God. What is the secret place? It's a place that I become transparent. It's a place that I become naked with God. It's a place where I can cast all my care before God. It's a place where I can kind of let my hair down. Oh, Lord Jesus, tonight help us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I come to church and I'm telling you, God blesses me and God helps me and God strengthens me and God encourages me. But sometimes I'm able to get beyond the crowd. Sometimes I'm like that woman, hallelujah, that said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get through the crowd, oh, hallelujah, if I can, I'm telling you that even on a Wednesday night, you can approach the Lord in the inner sanctum of your spirit and you can get along with God and you can become intimate with God. And if you'll do that, you'll find out he'll become intimate with you. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will hear my voice, are you hearing the voice of the Lord tonight? Because the voice of the Lord is walking all through this garden right now. And the Lord is walking, and the Lord is talking, and the Lord is touching. He's not just trying to beat the door down, but he's ever so gentle because he is a shepherd. He is so meek in spirit, and he's touching us and saying, if you'll just respond to my voice, don't worry about the feet. The feeling will come later. Just respond to my voice. And if you'll open up, I'll come in. I'll bring everything that I am into you. I'll reveal myself to you. You will conceive. Because the secret place, the intimate place with God, is a place of conception. It's a place where you conceive things from God. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like just letting loose for a little bit. Come on. You ever been driving down the road and your song comes on? One of those oldies. He didn't leave me the way that he found me. Let me get a little clearer. He didn't leave me to die in my sins. Turn it up. Give me some bass. Oh, but he left me his Holy Spirit to live within. He left me a brand new man. And all of a sudden, your mind goes back to the day you came to an altar and you lifted your hands and God extended his hand and you began to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. You couldn't explain it because it was joy unspeakable and full of glory. God is calling you back to that moment. God is calling you back to the freshness of your first love. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. And then the next song comes on. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. And you begin to think about the goodness of the Lord. And all of a sudden you feel the presence of the one that you love. Hallelujah, the one that loves you more than anything. Hallelujah. Come on. He loves you. And he wants relationship. And he's calling you to the secret place of intimacy. Holy Ghost. Come on, just express yourself to the Lord for a few moments. Come on, just express yourself to the Lord for a few moments. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. The secret place, the secret place. I got to get there. I got to get there. Some stuff really goes on there. If I can just get there, if I can just go beyond the veil, if I can just get beyond my own carnal reasoning and human logic, if I can just go beyond the pressure and the pain and the problems and the circumstances of life, if I can just get to that place, hallelujah. I'll bring myself under alignment, under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. He'll begin to pour his influence upon me. Hallelujah. I got to close. We're out of time. Oh. In the Old Testament, Exodus, the Lord said, I want you to build this ark, this vessel. In some verses, it's called the Ark of the Testimony. In other verses, the Ark of the Covenant. But he said there, I'm going to meet with you. Notice the tabernacle, the temple, had three places. The third dimension was the holy place, the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. So after we get done getting washed, getting cleansed, getting baptized, confessing our sins, oh, we move forward. We start eating the unleavened bread, and we're exposed to the candlestick, the light. And the candlestick lights up the holy place because he's pointing the way. Hallelujah, he's pointing the way. He said, you got to get beyond the veil. Hallelujah, there's another dimension. There's another place. There's another level. But you got to get beyond flesh. You got to get beyond selfishness. You got to get beyond control. Oh, Lord God, have mercy. And he's saying, there's no exit door here because this is the destination. Hallelujah. This is why I came into the world, to reconcile man so that I can bring them back to a place of communion and relationship and intimacy. Exodus 25, there I'll meet with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubs. Oh, my God, that are upon the ark of the... This is what he said in the Amp version. I will speak intimately with you. But you got to go through the altar. You got to go through repentance. You got to have light. You got to have oil. You got to be born again if you're going to get in the secret place. If you're in here tonight, you don't have the Holy Ghost, God's calling you. He's calling you. Yes, he is. He's calling you to the secret place, but he's telling you, you got to have light and you got to have oil. You got to be born again if you're going to get to that secret place and dwell there. My God, have mercy. Let me close with this. Luke chapter 10, we can all stand. I'm so sorry to keep you long. Luke chapter number 10, you know the story. I'm sure you're quite familiar with it. It's been preached many times. You've read it. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now it came to pass as they went that Jesus entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. You got to receive him. You're not going to go any further with him unless you first receive him into your house, into your life. And she had a sister named Mary, which also sat at the feet of Jesus. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You following me? The verse. But Martha was cumbered about. What does that mean? It means she was overoccupied. She was distracted. She was drawn away. She was cumbered about much serving. Do we need to serve? Absolutely. But she was serving so much, she became distracted and drawn away. And she forgot, or maybe she just didn't realize who it was that was in her house. Maybe she didn't understand who Jesus really was. But one woman did. Her sister. And she was at the feet of Jesus. But Martha got mad. She got an attitude. And she said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. That means to me, that says to me that she is quite disappointed at her sister. And she wanted some recognition for her service. She wanted some validation. She wanted affirmation. She wanted his approval. If you're seeking for God's approval through work and not relationship, you've missed the point. My God. Because what are you going to do when you can't work? Does God love you less because you can't work? Absolutely not. He's the lover of love. My God. Mary, on the other hand, was humbling herself, submitting herself, surrendering herself to the Lord. But like Martha, many deal with their problems, their pains, their hurts, their disappointments, their deficiencies, their loneliness, their grief, and their voids through work. I've been there. If you come by and I'm mowing my grass when it don't need to be mowing, I'm probably bothered by something or somebody. And I'm getting out there and I'm working to try to get through some stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. Things need to be done. And God can speak to you through gardening. Hallelujah. But a lot of people are simply becoming more busy instead of going to the secret place. Just do more and avoid the secret place. Why are you avoiding that place? Is it because you're mad, you're upset, you're disappointed, you feel cheated, offended? There's so many reasons. We don't have time to even go there. But God is calling us to the secret place. He's calling us. Because he wants to help you. He wants to heal you. He wants you to cast your care upon him, knowing that he cares for you. What happens when we deal with life's problems, hurts and pains and disappointments and grief and loneliness through working And I can name a few other things that we do that are not healthy. I've lost 13 ounces. Praise God. I've been changed. But the Lord is saying, like he said in verse 41, he said, Martha, Martha, you are careful. You are anxious. You are worried and you are troubled. You are disturbed about many things. But there is one thing that is needful. One thing. And Mary has chosen that good part. Tell your neighbor, you got to make a choice. If you're going to go to the secret place, you got to make a decision. I'm going there. I don't know what it's going to cost me, but I'm going. And she said that will not be taken away from her. You can be young or you can be old. And you can choose that one needful thing. I'm going to get alone with God. I'm going back to Bethel. I'm going back to my first love. I'm going to the secret place of the Most High. I've tried it on my own, and it ain't working. I'm going back to my first love. Would you lift your hands? Would you lift your voice? Would you begin to reach for the one who is reaching for you? Would you welcome him? Would you hear him? Would you receive his word, his spirit? Come on, tonight. Tonight. We can make a decision. We can choose. I'm going to go after the Lord. Am I going to be used of God? I believe that I can. Am I going to win souls? Am I going to minister to people? Yes. God loves them. Am I going to engage in warfare? Oh, yes. We got to do it. If we're going to snatch souls out of hell's grip, we've got to go to war. We've got armor for that. We've got gifts and power for that. But before I do anything else, I'm going to the secret place. I'm going, hallelujah, to uncover myself and expose myself to the presence of the Lord. Can we move out from where we are? You don't have to, but I'm just asking. I'm just extending an invitation for a few moments here tonight. We're going to break down this stage. No, we're not even going to do that tonight. We're free of that, praise God. We got a few days before December 25th gets here. And over the next few days, you and I can become so cumbered and so overwhelmed and so frustrated with the attitude and the spirit and even the culture of our society, that we forget about the most important thing. The key to strength and stamina is dwelling in the secret place, that intimate place with God. Oh, Lord, I come to you tonight. Come on, don't worry about anybody but you and God. Come on, you and God, you and God, you and God tonight. Oh, Lord Jesus, we're coming to you as individuals, as your children. Oh, Lord God, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, I can only speak what the Lord has put in my heart and my spirit. Hallelujah. What an invitation. What an invitation. The Lord is saying there's a place by me. I want to show you some things. Hallelujah. I want to reveal myself to you. But you've got to become vulnerable. You've got to become transparent. You've got to let go of the control. And you've got to learn to trust me with your pain. You've got to learn to give your guilt and your shame and your condemnation to me, because it is hindering intimacy. Condemnation is interfering with intimacy with God. We've got to go to Him. We've got to say, Lord, I'm dealing with this. I'm hindered by this. My mind is distracted. Oh, come on. Come on. Let's play that secret place of visit right now. Come on, it's here right now. That secret place is within you. That's the place that God wants to meet with you. It's in your spirit. It's in your spirit. Come on, how long has it been since you found you a private place in your home and you began to cry out, I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour, I need thee. Come on. Hallelujah. You don't need a service. You need a secret place. Come on. Hallelujah. You need a secret place with God. Hallelujah. Come on. That's one of the most powerful keys to becoming strong in the Lord, is learning how to get to that intimate place with God, so that He can begin to download things into your spirit, so that He can begin to release His peace and wisdom and knowledge and comfort and joy. Oh, where's the joy? It's in His presence. Where is His presence? It's in the secret place. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you don't need a radio to go there. God's given you the Holy Ghost. He's given you faith. Hallelujah, the grace of God is upon your life. He's given you the right, the power, the authority to become the sons of God, to know Him intimately. It's all right just to say, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my rejoice. Take joy, my King. Come on, be intimate with God. In what you hear, oh, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Come on, come on, come on. Tell Him, tell Him, tell Him. Tell Him, I love you. I love you. Come on. Oh, God's given us another part. He's given us another piece to the puzzle. If you want to learn how to be sensitive to God, then learn how to dwell in the secret place. Learn how to dwell in that place of intimacy with Him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. My God, I worship You. In the closing moments of this time,
time, this allotted time that we have here, can we join? Now, I know if you feel like me, I just want to get along with God. I want to go to the mountain. Hide me, God. Come on, if you can find that secret place with Him, that which has been concealed will be revealed. There is a revelation in your situation if you can just get to that place of intimacy. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What you cannot figure out, what you can't overcome, God can reveal Himself to you right in the middle of your darkest trial. Because, amen, you can get to that secret place even in your trial. Let's join with one another and begin to pray one for another. Hallelujah. I love you, dear sister. I thank God for you, my dear brother, my dear sister. Come on, let's pray one for another. Lord Jesus, we all want to go there. We want to go there as a body, as a congregation, as well as individuals. In the name of Jesus, teach us. Lord, and if you want to use my sister to help me, it doesn't matter if they're younger or if they're older. I'm going to listen, God. If you, Lord, want to use somebody in the family of God to help me, Lord, I'm all ears. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Strengthen, Lord, this body of believers tonight that we can dwell in the secret place. Come on, pray, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. That's right. We're moving beyond the veil right now. We're moving beyond pride, beyond fear. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, there's no condemnation. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Come on, dwelling in the secret place is the key to walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're going to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you've got to repent. You must be born again. You've got to learn to submit yourself when you don't want to. Come on. Hallelujah. It's going to cost you and I something to dwell there. It ain't easy dwelling there. We got to deny self and take up our cross if we're going to dwell there. Can we lift our hands and give thanks unto the Lord tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, really, really give God some thanks and praise. How long's it been till you begin to pray freely? Oh, freely in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Holy Ghost gives utterance. You can do it every day. You can go to that place every day. Come on, if you believe that God is calling you there, if you believe that God has called you there and you heard His voice, if you really believe that and you're really convinced, then grab somebody by the hand and tell them, we're going there.
Hallelujah. We're going there. And we're going to seek to dwell there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's right, that's right, that's right. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. You want to know where the power's at? It's in the secret place. God bless you. We want our pastor to greet us. This is the last Wednesday night before December 25th.
In my opinion, we have heard one of the most powerful messages that has ever come across this pulpit. My Lord, let's give the Lord thanks for honoring and using Brother Sapp. God. Oh, yeah, sikolo koto tarabakai. Woo! Shambabaka hasato lororo kobobo hoshakaya la 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 la